Again, it's such a blessing and privilege to have the Brubaker family going to the state of Washington. You know, this is a very needy mission field. I've heard the state of Washington, I'm sure you guys have heard this, that it's the graveyard of missionaries. You've heard that. I've heard that about the Northeast. But you know what? If God is in it, it's possible. And because with God, all things are possible. And it may be a hard work, but I'm thankful that we can partner together with families that have been called of God to go and to support them in prayer and to help carry their burden through prayer and even financially supporting them. And so, again, David and Amy Marie are just getting at the tail end of their deputation. In fact, I believe he'll say more about it, but they're going to be moving to Washington in just the next month or two. And so it's getting near the end of just ending that part of their ministry and getting there and start meeting the people and see God build a church there. And I'll let David introduce his family, but it's so good to have you here, brother. You come, and I believe you're going to introduce the video as well.
Well, good evening. It is a joy to be here. I wish I had some funny story or something to tell about your pastor from our time in Bible college, but I must admit he was much more mature than I was in that age of my life. So if anyone got in trouble, it was probably me. So as Pastor has mentioned, I do have my family here with me as well. My wife, Amy Marie, my son, Alan, and my daughter, Artis, are joining me here this evening. And God has called us to the field of Washington State, as Pastor said. The town, specifically, is very close to Seattle, but the town name is Enumclaw. It is a Native American name, actually meaning home of evil spirits. And there is several Native American nations or tribes that are around the Pacific Northwest. The closest to us are the Muckleshoot Indians. And we'll have some more in the video about them as well. The town of Enumclaw is only about 30 miles from the downtown area of Seattle, so not that far. Depending on traffic, could take as little as 15 minutes or as much as 45 minutes or more to get to the downtown area. It just depends on time. But very, very frequently, people live in Enumclaw, drive into Seattle for work. God burdened our hearts for the Pacific Northwest and ultimately for the town of Enumclaw. America as a whole, we would say, is at least historically, is a Christian nation. But there are parts of our own country, obviously, specifically Enumclaw, that don't have an independent Baptist church or even, I would say, a gospel witness of any type all over our country. Enumclaw is one of those towns. We're going to go ahead and show the video here in just a moment, and then I'm going to come back, share some more information that's not in the video, and I think my wife is also going to share the burden on her heart of how God called us to the Pacific Northwest.
We like to think of our great country as a Christian nation. Though it was started on biblical principles, and for many years the gospel of Jesus Christ has been clearly preached, there are portions of our own country that lack a gospel witness today. Washington State is one such place. Washington is in desperate need of gospel-preaching churches. There are approximately 200 churches in the entire state. North Carolina, in comparison, has over 1,000. With the current number of churches in Washington, each church would need to reach over 35,000 people. A perhaps more sobering statistic is that Washington has more people that claim no religious affiliation than any other state. 32% of the population make that claim. Materialism reigns supreme in Western Washington. Companies like Microsoft, Amazon, Starbucks, and Boeing employ much of the population. People see no need for the things of God in their life, They value their intellect and knowledge more than a dependence and faith in God. Hearts are hard to the gospel, and they need someone who will tell them. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It goes on to say in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We are the Brubaker family, and God has called us to go to the city of Enumclaw, Washington, and be a shining light for Him in this spiritually needy area. We are sent out of Grace Baptist Church in Hinesville, Georgia, under Pastor Kerry Hendricks, and have partnered with Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions as our missions agency. My wife and I both grew up in Christian homes. I asked Christ into my heart at 5 years of age, and my wife trusted the Lord when she was 8 years old. We both surrendered our lives to do God's will during our teenage years. We did not know at that time what God had in store for us. Amy and I met at Ambassador Baptist College. While there, our eyes were opened to the need of the Western United States, and God used that to bring us together. After we graduated, we were married in 2010. While serving at Grace Baptist Church, our son Alan was born. He arrived prematurely at 26 weeks, and we saw God work miracles in his tiny body. Living with autism has its daily obstacles, but Alan continues to grow in his love for God and compassion for others. Artis was also premature at 25 weeks, and God again showed our family the power of prayer. As a result of prematurity and other complications, Artis's eyesight is limited. You would never know it, though. Her love for life keeps her going full speed ahead. Several years ago, God again brought the western part of our country into our thoughts. God used some special people to encourage us to visit the Seattle area. During our trip there, God began to work in our hearts. By the end of that trip, we knew that God wanted us to return to Washington. He even placed a specific town on our hearts. God has called our family to go to the city of Enumclaw. Enumclaw is located about 45 minutes southeast of Seattle and is home to over 11,000 residents. It is known as the gateway to Mount Rainier since the national park is nearby. Sin grips the hearts of the people. Things like marijuana, alcohol, abortion, and alternative lifestyles are prevalent. They need someone who will be willing to share the good news of the gospel with them. God has also opened our eyes to the nearby Native American Indian Reservation. The 3,000 Muckleshoot Indians are only a few minutes away. Enumclaw and its residents regularly celebrate Native American culture, and we look forward to how God will let us minister to these people. Please pray for our family as we seek to serve Him in Enumclaw. Please pray for the people of Enumclaw that God will soften their hearts to the gospel. Please pray and ask the Lord what He would have you do for these spiritually needy people.
there's one thing that I would,
there's many things I could use to characterize the Pacific Northwest, or specifically the Seattle area, but the one thing that comes to mind is against God, anti-God. And maybe the other, on the other side of that would be things like materialism, worldly living. That is, in some ways, a small picture of the environment that my family or any Christian would be stepping into to minister to the lost in that area. There's about 12 to 15 independent Baptist churches in the greater Seattle area. There's also about 2.5 million people. And for whatever reason, the town of Enumclaw and the surrounding area there does not have its own independent Baptist church. And those dozen or 15 or so independent Baptist churches scattered throughout the greater Seattle metro area have, I almost want to say, have their hands full with the areas that they're at. But our mission field, I believe, is ripe unto harvest. In the video, I mentioned that the statistic that 30% of the people of Washington would claim to be atheist or agnostic. And that's true for the entire state. But if you look specifically at the Seattle area, that number goes up to about 60%. Think of this. 6 in 10 of the doors that you would knock on to share the gospel would want nothing to do with you being there on their doorstep. I don't know how it is here, but when I go door knocking in Hinesville, where our sending church is at, I've lived in Georgia now for about 12 years, and everyone tells you they go to church somewhere, almost everyone. And that's the response we get. Now, they may not go to a church that I would agree with, but they would claim something along the line of Christian. And it is very eye-opening to go to a place, even like New York City, like you're mentioning of going to, and where you have so many people who haven't grown up in church, don't know anything about the gospel, haven't even heard some of the most simple Bible stories that we have grown up with. My wife and I both grew up in Christian homes. What a blessing. So many of these people, that is not true for generations now. You could argue that the Pacific Northwest has never been reached in any time in history like the East Coast or some different areas have been. Our burden is for the town of Enumclaw and also for the Muckleshoot Nation. And that, in a nutshell, as I said in the video, God used a pastor friend of mine that I actually met in Bible college. God called him to Washington State, and he had us on his mind for a long time. And several times he called me up and said, "Brother David, you need to come see this area. Maybe God would have you come to Washington State and minister there." And on one occasion I said yes. And we took a trip out there just to see the area. Maybe God was doing something. Maybe God was leading. And I think my wife will probably share a little bit about this in a minute or two. But God worked in our hearts in that trip. If you have an opportunity to take one of these missions trips, I went to Mexico as a child, as a teenager, on a missions trip. And though God did not call me to Mexico as a missionary, He gave me a new vision for life outside my bubble and the spiritual need outside of what I was used to. And as we were there in Washington for that week, God broke our hearts. And we could make all the reasons why. I was telling somebody before the service, well, if I had to pick when I was a teenager where God was going to send me, I would not have picked Washington State. It just wasn't even anything I considered. God had to lead me very directly, one step at a time, saying yes to Him, one day at a time, until finally He had me in Washington, in a service where I heard God's word preached out of Isaiah chapter 6. And if you know that passage of Scripture, it's a conversation between Isaiah and God, and in heaven, having a conversation. God says, "Who's going to go for me?" And ultimately Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." And as I looked at my own life, as my wife looked at her life that night as well, we had no more excuses but to say, "Yes, God, here am I, send me."
If you're calling us back to the town of Enumclaw, Washington, then we want to say yes to you. Do I have all the answers? Absolutely not. But I do know God has called us to Enumclaw, and it is our prayer and desire to see Mountain Light Baptist Church established there in an area that has yet to have an independent Baptist church. As my wife makes her way up here, I want to share with you one or two ministry opportunities that God seems to be opening up outside of door-to-door evangelism and those sorts of things. The first would be, at some point, I'd like to see a ministry of the police chaplaincy that I would be involved in. It'd be a volunteer opportunity for me, but God has given me a desire to minister to those who are in law enforcement or fire department, those sorts of things, and also those that law enforcement minister to, or they work with, those that they deal with on a daily basis. And serving as a volunteer chaplain for the police or fire department would allow me access to some of those people. I would ask that you pray about that. And there are some other things as well. Some of them are going to that I think my wife wants to share. But I'm going to let her share a couple things on her heart and perhaps how God confirmed in her heart the ministry in Washington.
So as my husband and I were preparing for our survey trip, my father took us both aside and gave us some very wise wisdom. He said, "You're about to go to one of the most beautiful places in the United States. Don't get caught up in the scenery. Don't get caught up in the mountains and the beauty, because you'll think you're called there." He said, "You need to pay attention to the people." And was he right? Because when we landed at SeaTac in Seattle, we stepped off the plane into the airport, it was like a vacuum. It just sucked the life out of you. The only way I know to describe it is demonic oppression. I knew I was still in the United States, but it did not feel like I was still in the United States. It just felt spiritually desolate. And we're leaving the airport, and we're walking, and we're meeting people, and seeing people. At least I think some of them were still people. We weren't always sure what we were looking at. And I kept reminding myself, I'm here for a reason, and I need God to show me what that reason is. And our very last night, there was a whole bunch that happened that week, but he only gave me a few minutes. So if you want to hear more, you have to take it up with him. that last night of the trip, we were in a missions conference, and the pastor was preaching on the need for missionaries in the 1040 window, the middle part of the globe. But that's not what God was speaking to my heart about, and I don't believe that's what God was speaking to my husband's heart about. We were both new and felt God's call upon our life, not just for Washington, but for a town that God kept bringing us back to all week. Like, we turn off the GPS in the car and drive around. It's like, oh, look, we're back in Enumclaw. Or we met with a realtor just to kind of see things. And, oh, look, he wanted to show us houses in Enumclaw. Or where was our favorite coffee shop? You guessed it, Enumclaw. And one of the people that I met during our time there was a music store owner. You guessed it, there in Enumclaw. And he found out that I was a harp teacher. He's like, can I hire you today? I'm like, oh, no, I don't live here. He's like, are you moving here? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, if you move here, I'll hire you. We do not have enough music teachers. And that caught my interest because the state is very rich in things that are considered sophisticated, the arts. Everyone's studying theater and music instruments and all this kind of stuff. He said everyone enrolled in the King County school system is required to study music instruments, and they don't have enough music teachers in Seattle. And that just stuck with me. So as we're sitting in the missions conference and God's working in our hearts, and I leaned over to my husband and I said, we're coming back, aren't we? I already knew the answer, you know. And he grabbed my hand and he said yes. And we went forward that night and we surrendered to whatever God wanted us to do. And I remember as we were leaving Washington on the plane, that idea of we don't have enough music teachers stuck in my mind. And I told God, okay, if you provide the instruments and you help me, I'll learn as many as I can so I can teach. And God's done that. God has done that. He's brought two pianos and four guitars, three flutes, violin, saxophone, on and on and on. And I've learned enough to be dangerous with all of them. And several of them I'm actually pretty good at. So that's not something I ever envisioned for myself, was to do that. But why do I think that's important? Because God's already opened the door for me to be a music teacher now, and I have 20 students all over the world. And not only are you getting to meet with them once a week to discuss music, you're getting to discuss the intricacies of music and who created that. God. And there is not a lesson that goes by that I am not able to bring up something about God. And many of my students are lost. And I'm able to share about God and His love and His order and His creation and His love for them. And they come to recitals and my husband preaches at them. They have to memorize verses for extra credit for studio competitions. I've had some of my students ask for Bibles for Christmas. And I'm excited about the students, the future students God has for me in Washington, that I'll be able to bring into my home, and they'll be able to see a family that maybe is a little different from theirs and wonder why. Another thing that God opened our eyes to as a family when we were in Washington two summers ago now, you may have seen in the video, my son has a service dog. That's Maya. Maya travels with us everywhere. She's an amazing dog. She works for us, but then she has free time. And during her free time, she has so much energy that she has to spend. Well, in Washington, everyone lives like right on top of each other. You don't really have a backyard, so everyone goes to a dog park. Yes, they have parks for dogs everywhere. And people that my husband could not talk to at their door are at the dog park with their dogs. And they're all just milling around, you know, with their phones. And you can walk up and say, hi, what's your dog's name? And they'll tell you, hey, how long have you lived here? And you can start a conversation. And if you go the next day at the same time, you see that person again and again and again and again. And before you know it, they start letting down their guard and start telling you personal things, maybe about how they grew up or their family or problems in their life. And I have here with me, during this time, we were in Washington for 1 month, and I have some names I'd like to read off to you. Helen, Natasha, Tyler, Wayne, Juan, Rebecca, Ella, Riker, Jasmine, Janelle, Antonio, Dennis, Amanda, Steve, Dave, Christina, Chuck, Brian, Mike, Michelle, Jennifer, Jessica, Tom, Betty, Bo, and Tony. And those are names of people that I was able to share the gospel to and give tracts to at a dog park just in 1 month in Washington that my husband would have never been able to talk to at the door. So, yes, we're going to have a dog park ministry, too. And because of that, that spurred me to write a track. You can see it on the back table about our dog, Maya, and how her life helps open the window to share the gospel. But I think I took more time than you wanted me to, so I'm going to stop now, and thank you.
We would appreciate your prayers. As Pastor said, the time is getting close for us to move to Washington permanently. About the second week of March is when we are moving as a family out that way. And I don't know all that God has in store, but I do know that He has called us there, and I do know it is His desire for people to hear the gospel and be saved. And I would ask that you pray for us as Mountain Light Baptist Church is established there in Enumclaw. And only history and heaven will tell all that has been done or will be done for the cause of Christ there. And thank you.
Brother
thank
Nathan,
you for that.
Can we take a couple questions? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're thinking of something, one thing that came to my mind, Brother David, you guys are going to be there in the next month or two. What would you say your plan would be for the first, at least first several months, first 6 months of arriving? I know it's all fresh and whatnot. What are some initial goals?
Okay, so initial goals, God is continually working. And several months ago, we had the opportunity to be in Washington and meet
by God's divine appointment, a couple. And I don't know what God's going to do with all of this, but they share their salvation testimonies with us. And their excuse for not attending an independent Baptist church was there was none in Enumclaw. Now, if it's God's desire for them at some point to join with us, praise the Lord. That would be our desire in the ministry. But short-term goal would be to begin a discipleship ministry, whether that's in their home or another home, through contacts that we make at the dog park or whatever it might be. Obviously, we want to see people saved if they're not already believers. But initially, we want to get very involved in the community and get out there. If I sit in my house, no one's going to get to know me. And one of the biggest barriers that we see, or that was, as we understand it from other people, is that no one's going to believe that we're going to stay and that we actually belong there. You see, we're from the East Coast. We didn't grow up in the West Coast. And we don't know West Coast culture. And if we need to get out and get involved in the community as much as possible. As far as there will be, I don't have an exact timeline, but probably as the Lord blesses with discipleship and we see a group of believers well grounded in the faith, I see a storefront or other community center that we could rent or. Be able to use. Some people have used public school auditoriums. Obviously, they're available on the weekends, and we'd be able to start having services. I don't have an exact timeline. Kind of new at this, but I am excited about what God's going to do there.
Amen. Someone else had a question concerning the ministry of the Brubakers going to the state of Washington,
Yes, so I did not get into that. One of the major barriers there is I'm allowed to be on the reservation, but it's kind of frowned upon. They are trying to bring back their native culture, and much of that is native ancestor and earth worship, to kind of put it mildly. If I was looking at things ideally, I would say, God, you save a native man or woman, or however it might be, that they could take me to the doors. I don't know how God's going to do all that. We've looked at some other opportunities of getting involved with some of the kids, be it music or otherwise from the reservation. But we are praying for an open door there as far as that is concerned. Those that are not religious will ignore me, is what I have experienced. And those that would claim some sort of religiosity would in some ways despise that I'm there. They're not going to meet me with open arms. Either group is not going to meet me with open arms. It's going to take the friendships and being there when they are in a hurting time in their life and see how we are different, in addition to sharing the gospel with them. So there are two churches that are about 30 minutes away, drive-wise. Both have expressed, they're the two closest ones, let's put it that way. Both have expressed interest in assisting as we begin to hand out literature and such and help as they can. There's also, some have mentioned that they have members driving from Enumclaw to their churches. Nobody likes to lose church members, let's put it that way. But some have expressed that maybe they would encourage some of their members to come alongside us and assist. None of that is confirmed at the moment, but that is a possibility. at least two churches, not including three churches, including our sending church, have expressed interest in coming and passing out flyers when we are ready for our first service and doing mass distributions as well. They do work together. There is some sort of get-together they try to have, as I understand it, on a monthly basis. As I understand, they're all friendly with each other. But there's enough work to do in each of their own vicinities. But they do have different activities that they do together and things, yes. Most of the churches are less than 100 people. There's several that would have a couple hundred, but most are less than 100 people. Tends to be smaller congregations, well under 100 people. Yes, it was very surprising to me, the standard of living. We spent the last 12 years in South Georgia. It's a relatively low-income area. That is not true in Washington. We had been looking at homes there, and they start right now at about $500,000. That was kind of eye-opening to me. And that's an Enumclaw. That's not in Seattle. Seattle's even higher. I think the median income last time I checked for a single income was about $70,000 a year.
Thank you so much, Brother David. All right.
Thank you.
That. And
we certainly need to pray for the Brubakers. Amen. They have these just beautiful prayer cards they got back there. I hope you guys will go by there and grab one. And it has their names and the area they're going and birth dates and just ways that you could be lifting them up in prayer. And we're going to be praying, David and family, about what the Lord would have us do as a church. But we will be receiving a love offering tonight. So the offering plates are out. If you'd like to designate that on the envelope, love offering of missionary family, Brubaker family, would love to lead. Let them leave here tonight encouraged in more ways than one. But to help them as they get ready to launch out by faith here in just over a month, going out and by faith, you know, there's a lot of unknowns when starting a church, but thank God, you know, I'm always reminded of Abraham when the Lord called him. And he says, yeah, I'm sure it's by on the trail. Somebody said, "Hey, sir, where are you going?" "Well, I don't know." I'm serious. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know all the details. He knew God had called him to the promised land from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he just was going to let God lead him along the way. And that's how the Lord works sometimes. Amen? You just take that first step, and I'm sure the things will be coming together. But let's pray for them, and we certainly want to do that here in just a moment. Before we close, I would like to honor those that maybe had a birthday this past week. I think we ordered them the week before. Did anybody have a birthday this past week that we could celebrate with, rejoice with you? Any birthdays over the past week? Is after we have prayer. If Brubakers, if you guys would go ahead and go to the foyer, would you stand with me as we get ready to close in prayer? Brubakers, you can head back during prayer. And again, invite everyone to hang out for some fellowship. And then there'll be some cake here in just a little bit. Maybe some other goodies, I'm not sure. But I had cake for breakfast this morning. And it was delicious, that red velvet cake. And I'm not opposed to having cake for supper. Amen. And so cake is good stuff. Mr. Ralph Hudgens, would you lift up your voice, brother, and close our service? And please pray for the Brubaker family tonight.